At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode of Ear Hustle is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
My name is Aaron Showtime Taylor. I'm a play-by-play commentary for basketball as well as other sports. I'm the voice of the American Basketball Association and the Venice Basketball League. This episode contains language and content, including discussion of sexual assault, that may not be appropriate for all listeners. Discretion is advised.
Hey, Nigel, hold on.
Yes.
Those are some nice pants you got on.
Oh, what do you like about them?
They're like 70-ish, but 2021.
Well, you know that's me. All 70s coming into 2021. But you know what? Do you know what I'm really happy about today?
What are you happy about?
I'm really happy that we are actually back in our office recording in an official studio and kind of out of our closets. But there's something else I'm very excited about, and that is you got your jab. Thank you.
I was reluctant. You know, I didn't want to take the vaccine.
I know.
You know, I wanted everybody else to take it, so I didn't have to take it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, based on the work we do and probably going back inside the institutions.
Yep.
I had to get my jab.
I'm just so happy you did it. So thank you.
Definitely.
So now we're both ready to go back out there with masks.
Of course. We're back. We're ready to get back into the thick of things.
Yes.
And speaking of that,
yeah,
let's get into this episode.
All right. We have a nickname for your bakery. I want to know what you think of it.
Okay.
We call it the Lifer Bakery.
The Lifer. This is Isaac.
We started calling it that because you hire a lot of formerly incarcerated people.
Lifers. Well, I mean, the Lifer can have many meanings.
It's true.
No, it's actually sounds like a positive name.
Yeah, totally.
So like customers for life.
Yeah. Well, also like food. Bread, you know, all that stuff gives you life.
I like the name. No, it's a good name.
I'm Nigel Poor.
And I'm Merline Woods. This is Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia. Dun, 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 dun. So, Nigel.
Yes.
We've been calling it Lifer Bakery.
We have.
But the government name for Isaac's place is Frenna Bakery.
That's right, Frenna Bakery. It's in downtown San Francisco. And Erlon, I'm not going to say it's in the most charming neighborhood.
It's a rough part of the town, but Frenna is kind of an oasis for that area.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got this nice orange awning out front, and it's really welcoming, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. So you walk in and the first thing you see is this really beautiful brick oven that's painted orange. But then your eyes go down to this glass counter and inside of that are all these amazing Jewish and Middle Eastern staples and delights like challah and other sweets and savories. But Erlon, my favorite thing is this amazing pita bread.
Oh yeah, I've seen you in there.
Oh, it's so fluffy.
And Isaac is the guy in charge. We heard him a couple of minutes ago.
In Israel, a bakery, when you say the word bakery, is different than saying bakery here. In Israel, the idea of bakery is not just sweets, but it's also savory. And that's what we have here. You know, like you just ate the pocket with the feta and green olives. It's a meal. And it's good for breakfast, lunch, dinner, night snack, share with friends.
Isaac opened Frenna Bakery about 5 years ago. And one day, he's working at the counter and this guy strolls in.
He starts throwing some words in Hebrew, you know, because he learned Hebrew, I guess, when he was in prison. And he told me that he's looking for a job. And his name is, I don't know if I can say his name, Carlos.
Yeah.
And he comes and he sits down at this table. And this is how he talks. So what do you want? I'm like, I want a job. And I tell him just like this. I tell him, but before we get into that, I'm going to tell you about myself. I go, I just got out of prison 3 days ago for doing 23 years for the murder of an innocent man. I've never had a job. I don't know how to bake, but I've always wanted to be a baker. I'm a hard worker. I got a college education. I'm a monster when it comes to working. Like, I can really help you out. He looks at me. I hire you Sunday. I was like, what the heck?
So, Carlos.
Yeah, Carlos. We've had him on the show a few times. And Earline, he is amped up. I mean, his energy is intense. But I have to say, I totally enjoy being around him.
You know, every time I see Carlos, you know what comes to mind? Because that's him. He's just moving. He's moving all the time.
Never stops. And when you talk to Carlos about his life, it's like one crazy thing after another. It always sounds impossible, but Earline, I believe everything he says.
You do.
I know ancient Greek.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Are you Greek?
I was actually only like 8% Mexican. English, Irish, Scottish, Spanish, Senegalese. I actually lived on a reservation for a while with some Morongan Indians. Wrestled for about 7 or 8 years. I went 3 years undefeated. I was actually conceived in prison. Got cancer around the age of 7 or 8.
Wait, what?
My father killed himself shortly after that. So it was like a really traumatic time. So I ended up going back with my mom, who was kind of like basically kind of homeless at that time.
When Carlos was 16 years old, he was out with a group of friends when they decided to rob a store. And in the process, one of Carlos' partners shot and killed the guy who was working there.
Carlos was tried as an adult and sentenced to 15 years to life.
Initially, I went to YA, you know, as an adult, but get kicked to the pen, you know, you're scared. You
don't
know.
How old were you when you
went to the pen?
Yeah.
18. I remember when I first got busted, when I was getting booked, I remember the words of one of the officers. He said, "You beat cancer and you killed somebody?" And him just looking at me like, and I was just like, oh, it's a knife to the chest.
While Carlos was in prison, of course he stayed busy. He took college courses and he even learned a few languages, including Hebrew.
And then, after 23 years of being locked up, Carlos got paroled.
Yeah, and when he got out, it was pretty intense. I mean, Earline, he was 40 years old and he was basically starting his life outside from scratch.
Right.
I was very reserved, confused. You know, I was really discombobulated. I didn't believe I was getting out. When I walked out of the prison, I just couldn't believe they were actually going to let me out. I thought up until the moment I got to the gate, when I got to the car, they were still going to call me back. Like, it just didn't seem real. So as those 3 days went on, I was really kind of like in a daze, didn't feel real.
The first thing Carlos really needed was a job, but he had no idea how to go about that.
He was living at a transitional house, and he met a woman there who told him about a bakery down the street where he could practice his Hebrew and maybe even find work.
So Carlos, being Carlos, just walked in and straight up asked for a job.
And then he told me that he just got out of jail. He was 30 years in prison. I wanted to hire him even more.
Why?
Why? First of all, you know, we as Jews, we have a kosher bakery. Kosher is not just the food. Kosher needs to be everything. The way you conduct business, the way you treat your workers. Kosher is a way of life. It's not just, you know, eating kosher food and be a bad person. It's everything. So the first fundamental rule in Judaism is that everybody deserves a second chance. Doesn't matter what you did, if you regret and you change your ways, you deserve a better chance, a second chance, you know. You can't judge people for things they did when they were young or they were heat of the moment and nobody stopped them. If nobody stopped us, most of us would go to jail too, you know, many times.
So Carlos took the job, learning how to be a baker.
Anytime Isaac brings on a new baker, he starts them out on the night shift.
Yeah, it's the most demanding shift. So Isaac gets to kind of like try them out and see if they're going to be up for the task.
Yeah, and that baking starts around midnight. And Erlon, we went to that kitchen. Remember, it's super tight space, right? And the guys are methodically moving around, twisting up the challah, putting trays in the proofer, and cranking up that pita oven.
Oh, the one that Isaac imported from Israel?
Yes, and that's why the pita is so good.
And the shifts are long.
And it is the hardest job I've ever had. It was nothing compared to working in that bakery. It is very hard work.
So what makes anybody, it hard?
Huh?
What makes it hard?
High-pressure situation. Lots of bread. Lots. You need timing, accuracy. Bread is like it's a living organism. I compare it to a baby. It's growing. If you don't intervene into that child's life at the right time, it's going to grow up to be a monster.
I love how Carlos talks about this. I mean, it is so clear he loves his job.
And pretty soon, word gets around. Carlos is telling other guys who've just gotten out, hey, you should check this place out.
And then he started bringing his friends. I have another guy. Do you want him? I have another guy. Another guy said, yeah, for sure. Of course. Bring them. You know, bring.
He ended up hiring another guy, and, you know, feeding off of those other guys. It's been over 25 lifers now. I lost count at 25 that have gone through there.
Looking back, and I say, wow, 90% of the people work here are there. Everybody then back then specifically were lifers.
So you've got a bunch of people who just got out after years of being locked up.
Yeah, all working in this tiny kitchen.
And you know, I think it's inevitable. Sometimes some old prison shit is gonna come up. Like for instance, in prison, everything and everyone is pretty much segregated by race. But at the bakery, it wasn't like that.
No, and for some of the parolees, that took getting used to.
You know, this one particular incident where the guy said, you know, straight stopped me, you know, you're Mexican, I'm black, you know, I'll talk to them. And I was like, nah, dude, you're going to talk to me. That stuff can stay in there. We're not in the prison kitchen talking like, you got to go talk to your people, I got to go talk to mine. It's you and me. It was really intense. That had to diffuse, like, hey, bro, like, this is not what this is about. And through that stuff comes growth, because it allows you to see, I'm not in prison anymore. I'm not talking to you as a nation state Mexican and you're a nation state black, bro. Like, we're out here working for some people who care about us and we need to get stuff done.
Well, did he understand that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So before that, did he hang in his area?
Yeah. I mean, were there race areas in that kitchen?
No, there's not race areas. Like, yeah, there's no race areas. You got the left sink, I got the right sink. No.
Carlos said even though the work could be brutal, he took to it immediately, and the place became really important to him.
How did they instill so much loyalty in you?
Love.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
I mean, they genuinely, you can see it, care about people. I was having some issues kind of, you know, with my family, and they were like it was like a ready-made family. It was weird. They gave me love and a sense of security, and they were giving love and a sense of security to dudes that were around me, and that kind of kept snowballing.
So, Ian, when you get out of prison, everything is a milestone, right?
Yeah, I mean, Carlos was just starting on a bunch of stuff that most people have been building up for years.
Right.
I always tell cats, like, when you get out of prison, you're $25,000 in the red. You know, you got to get clothes, you got to get a car, everything. So each time you accomplish things, it's a big deal for people.
Yeah, yeah.
You see people get their first car out of there, you know, get their first place in the city. That's just, like, we celebrate that. Like, that's cool. You know, like, dang, yeah, he got his place, you know, and it's cool.
You know, it's a trip because a lot of people on you know, that's coming out of prison, you know, their first car was drug money. Their first car was robbery. Their first car,
you know, people's first wasn't working.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah. that's a good look to see.
You see
cats
guy
that really like earning their money.
Making
for the first
donuts
time
and buying their car, you know, cash here.
Well, that reminds me of something Erlan said about, he had these very expensive shoes he showed me from a long time ago. And I was like, would you buy them now? And he's like, no, because I have a different feeling about money now.
Yeah.
My name is Gregory Rand. I went to prison at 17 years old, did 25 years.
How long you been home?
I've been home since November 1st, 2018.
I went to talk to Gregory where he was living over on Treasure Island. He's a real cool dude, smiles a lot, kind of like a muscular teddy bear, if that makes sense.
When Gregory first got out, he started applying all over the place for jobs.
FedEx, UPS, Amazon.
Yeah, and he kept getting turned down.
I'd have no problem with getting a $10 job. I'll do that. If nobody do it, I'll do it. So after being rejected a few times without receiving a response, it kind of bothered me and messed with my confidence in finding employment because I've never had a job.
Then Gregory heard about Frenna Bakery.
He walks in and starts chopping it up with Isaac. And what was that conversation like?
It was nerve-wracking. You know, I've never been on a job interview. You know, in prison, you just get a work card, show up to work. And so it was nerve-wracking. I didn't know what to expect. He asked about the gap in my employment. And that stumbled me, you know. So that's when I told him, you know, I was incarcerated and this is what I did. And, you know, this is who I am today. He asked me, how do I know if this job is where I want to be, you know? And it kind of shook me up. So I told him, you know, I worked in metal fab, you know, for about a year and a half prior to coming home and seeing a piece of metal turn into a shovel, seeing nothing turn into something, being a part of that, you know, motivates me. I went from pots, pans, and cleaning to prepping, just solely cutting food. Then I went from there to solely mixing the yeast. I wouldn't cook, just mix it. Gregory, mix the ingredients. Now you start baking.
Learning to cook at Frenna, it's a whole thing.
Yeah, you're not just learning how to bake. You're learning all the rules about how to keep a kosher kitchen.
You cannot put no dairy onto the parv.
And I'm still lost on what a parv is. Is it a plate? Is it a food item? Is it dough?
It's food. It's food. Okay. It's dough.
So parv is anything that's not meat or dairy.
And at Frenna, they've got different stations for different kinds of food. And everyone got to learn to follow the rules.
You got to keep that meat and dairy separate.
There's no mixture of the two. Okay. Like you can't, you.
So keep them separate.
Keep
Crips
them
and
separate.
Bloods.
When they first started showing me the ins and outs, I had messed up some vegan buns. Opposed to lashing out at me and slamming the stuff down and basically belittling me, said, "No, Gregory, what did you do?" And so I explained what I did, and he said, "Okay, this is what you missed." Once they proof, you spray them with water, then you poke the holes in them. I poked the holes in them, then sprayed them with water, which made them collapse. So we started everything for, he said, "Watch me." And he showed me step for step exactly how it is to make the perfect vegan buns. It gave me a sense of comfort in knowing that, you know, I'm human, you know, I'm not a machine. If I stumble, just pick up, dust myself off, regroup and do it right.
So would you consider yourself a hell of a baker nowadays?
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, you would turn a woman on, like?
Oh, no, I keep that on. And that's what—
You ain't trying to expose
no,
that?
No, not me. A baker? Great, a baker, no, but—
What you
know,
mean? Nah. I mean, that's talent.
That's talent, but you know, and that's where the 17-year-old mentality comes in at. How can I embrace the title of a baker with—
Your masculinity?
There you go.
No, come on, man. I wish I was a baker.
I wish I knew how to make some shit that'll make a person just start smiling and
but
shit.
At the opening of the store, when the store is open, when I used to look out there, it made me feel good to see the little boys or little girls look, ooh, look at that. And it's something that I did. Turn flour, turn dust into jelly donuts with hearts on them. To turn into just this, everything turns into something.
After the break, the pandemic hits.
And Nigel goes on a delivery run.
Support for Ear Hustle comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/earhustle. That's odoo.com/earhustle. Odoo, modern management made simple.
By 2020, Frenna was doing real good to where Isaac wanted to open up a second location.
Which was super exciting. But then the pandemic hit and everything closed down.
Right.
The catering was like half of their business and it disappeared. And of course, the, you know, people walking by, you know, that just stopped. It dried up.
And Isaac realized they had to go out and find some new customers.
Yep. So Frenna started driving van loads of food all over the Bay Area, setting up in parking lots of synagogues and Jewish community centers.
And Jeremiah, that's the main guy from Frenna doing all those deliveries.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what are we about to do? What's the adventure we're about to go on?
So next we're off to San Jose, and we're going to set up outside of a synagogue. And we're going to make sure that everybody who's unable to come up here is getting the best kosher food that we can supply to them.
Well, so what's going to be in the truck?
Oh, I've got pita, I've got challah, I've got sambusiks, I've got sofganiyot jelly-filled donuts, I've got berekas, I've got baba ganoush, oh, and I've got our world-famous sabik sandwich boxes.
I hope that we don't eat a bunch of the food on the way down.
Okay, so E?
Yeah?
You and I met Jeremiah for the first time on one of our earlier visits to the bakery.
Right.
So can you tell us where we are right now? Can you describe the space we're sitting in?
So we are currently in the office space. It's a rather spacious basement with a very nice little employee lounge area.
Every day at 9 a.m., Jeremiah goes down into the basement at Frenna, and he sits there for an hour.
So what am I doing right now?
Yes.
So between 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock in the morning, and 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock at night, so twice a day, for an hour, I have to plug in an ankle monitor, a GPS monitor.
We should describe the ankle monitor.
Yeah, it's about the size of a big-ass, old-school garage door opener.
Right, right.
And it got this band around it like a watch band.
Yeah, but thick.
Hella thick.
Thick, thick, thick. And that ankle monitor is part of Jeremiah's parole. He has to wear it for 8 years.
Man, that's a long time to have something attached to you.
It is really difficult to readjust back into society when you know that every 12 hours for a total of an hour each time, you have to stop everything you're doing to plug in. So say I wanted to get a job like this. My job starts at 7:30 in the morning. At 9 o'clock, I have to clock out. So I can come down here and do my thing. And then I go back upstairs and clock in. And, you know, that's really difficult for most employers. And I didn't think I was going to get a job even here in San Francisco, honestly. Most people turned me down. And it was the charging from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock that stopped me from getting a job.
Yeah.
I've actually never met someone whose parole is longer than the time they served.
No, I think it's I don't understand that one. Yeah, I'm about to say, because maybe I missed it. Why are you on it for 5 years or 8 years?
Because so 60 days before you are released from prison, when you have a victim, they notify that victim. If said victim decides that they feel threatened, they can contact the parole office and tell them, you need to keep an eye on them for my protection.
Have you had to explain that ankle monitor? And in what situation?
Every situation. I'm required by law to explain to any employer my situation and why I went to prison.
Have you explained that to us? Oh, do you want to put that on here?
Okay. I will explain it. This is part of my recovery. I just don't like bring it up. So in 2016, I had been married for 10 years. And we had a BDSM type relationship. She had a lot more experience than I did in those kind of things. And, I was a willing learner. And one night we were being intimate and she explained that it was uncomfortable for her. And I went ahead and continued to force myself on her. I finished. And she told me that if I went to the store and got a pack of cigarettes and a ball of vodka for her, we could go for second round. And so off to the store I went. And when I got back, the police were waiting for me. They asked if I had had sex with her. I told them everything that had happened, how it had happened. And he told me, well, that's rape. While I was in prison, I started taking some therapy classes and talking to a counselor. And he helped me understand that the nature of our sexual relationship was really deviant. We didn't have like a safe word. We didn't. You know, there were just certain things that you need to have if you're going to have that kind of relationship. And we didn't have it. And so I came to the understanding and realization that I had raped my wife, which is a very difficult thing to come to grips with.
I went back to Frenna Bakery a week later to go on a delivery run with Jeremiah.
Yep, we were straight up reporters, seeing every side of this business.
Okay, if you want to say that, but actually, I just wanted to know more about Jeremiah's life. What year did you go to prison?
In March of 2016, I committed my crime.
So tell me about, if I had met you in March 2015, who would I have met?
You would have met a pretty rough and tumble individual. I was riding a motorcycle, I had a shaved head. I was working out a lot and taking supplements to get big.
Like, give me like 5 adjectives that would have described you.
Loyal, honest, hardworking, ruthless, and maybe sadistic.
Do any of those 5 still describe you?
Loyal, hardworking, trustworthy.
Do you feel like a sex offender?
No.
It sounds like you said you were guilty. So, but you don't think of yourself as a sex offender. So that seems like a contradiction.
I know. When I think of a sex offender, I think of somebody who, I don't know, plans those kind of things,
yeah.
or maybe somebody who thinks about
deviant things, you know, somebody who dresses as a clown or drives around in an ice cream truck picking up little kids, somebody who cruises the internet looking for inappropriate porn, those are sex offenders. I was guilty, though. She told me to stop, and I didn't. I was guilty. I accept that. Regardless of the situation that led up to it, I should have just stopped. Regardless of even if we had a BDSM relationship or not.
Why didn't you stop?
I'm selfish.
When people go to prison, they lose, obviously, so much of their privacy. You lost a very particular kind of privacy. Was it embarrassing for everyone to know the details of your intimate life?
Yeah.
What's that done to you? Sometimes I wonder if, like, something really humiliating happens to you and you get past it, maybe you're stronger because you realize you can survive that and it's not the end of the world, or maybe it's done some kind of psychological damage that you can't get back from.
Well, I'd like to say yes on both, actually. I've come out of it definitely feeling a lot stronger and more secure in some things. Mostly in how I hold relationships with the opposite sex. I've learned to develop my communication skills with not just my relationship partners, but with everybody.
You know how we were talking earlier about Carlos?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he and Jeremiah are really different people.
Yeah.
And they're in different situations. But it's like no matter how you get to prison, you're kind of in the same spot when you get out. You're starting your life all over again.
Yeah. And Earlonne, obviously, it's not just the material stuff like buying a car or whatever, but it's the relationship stuff, too, like how to communicate and how to earn respect from people.
And for Jeremiah, Frenna was a big part of that.
It's nice being, somebody who's been incarcerated to have that knowledge and feeling of being trusted by a business owner. With, you know, a bunch of cash. The vehicle I'm driving currently right now actually belongs to one of the owners. You know, so I mean, they've put a lot of trust into me.
So when we interviewed you last time, you talked about this, and so did Isaac, about it feeling like a family. And it actually sounds like it does. Like, that's not just lip service.
No, it's absolutely not lip service. There have been times where, you know, I was going through either a loss in the family or... my mother was not feeling well, and I got a lot of emotional support from Isaac and Yaniv and the rest of the crew at Frenna. And I know that I can call them at any time of the hour, whether it's 6 a.m. or 2 a.m. They're more than willing to answer the phone.
Where are we? We're about to pull in somewhere, I think. Where are we now?
So this is normally where I would pull in, right there. But today we are going to pull in. You know what? I really like it over there in the shade.
I think
a good idea. Yeah, I'm going to pull into the shade.
And that's where we left him, doing his thing.
Slanging dough.
Okay, so there was one more person at Frenna we wanted to talk to, Brandy.
Yep, because during this whole pandemic thing, Brandy was a big part of keeping things going at the bakery.
Oh, yeah. And she came out to talk to us on her lunch break. So we all sat in your car, Earlonne,
mm-hmm.
to do the interview. And she really rolled with it. She was gracious and sweet, but you could also pick up on something that was really strong and determined about her.
She was a go-getter.
Okay. Did you ever think you'd be sitting in a car being interviewed by people?
No, not at all.
With mask on?
With mask on. No, not at all.
My mask.
Can you start by just identifying yourself?
Okay. My name is Brandy Talavera. I'm 41 years old. I've been released for about 2 years and doing good.
And how much time did you do?
36 months. But I did a drug program called RDAP out in Phoenix, Arizona, a federal prison. And it allowed me to get 7 months off.
Jeremiah told Brandy about Frenna when she was just a couple of days out of prison, living in a transitional house in San Francisco.
Yeah, he told her he thought the bakery might need somebody to work the front counter.
So Brandy thought she'd check it out. Isaac hired her on the spot.
So I went in just to do cashier, and they said, no, like, I see something more in you. Like, I need somebody to answer my phones, basically be my right-hand man. And I think you could be the girl.
So what did he see in you?
They like to say the street term, hustler. So I ran with it, and I was like, you're so true, because I was.
So what was your first impression of Frenna Bakery?
It was very overwhelming, but I was like, in my first week, I was like, I can't do this.
What did you think you couldn't do?
Well, I haven't been in work for several years before that. So I was just like, the food and just getting to know the recipes and everything, I was just like, what is this? What am I doing, you know?
Yeah.
And so I actually studied every single department so I can go, if there no baker was there, I'll go be the baker. If there's no front cashier, I'll go be the front cashier.
I think Brandy was kind of surprised at how much she ended up liking the job. I mean, it was really hectic at first, but Brandy's a fast learner and she just fit right in.
I got my independence back. I got my work ethic back. I got my skill back. It's been years since I worked in an office. It's been years since I had to direct and correct and people, and he gave me an opportunity. And so by that, I just took it and ran with it, and I grew up, as you can say, more than anything.
Pretty soon, it was Brandy's job to manage all the bakery's catering relationships, including with a bunch of big tech companies in San Francisco.
So when the pandemic hit and all those clients disappeared, Brandy hit the phones looking for new business.
And that's how Frenna Bakery ended up with a customer they weren't expecting.
This one really kind of came full circle, Naj.
Oh, yeah.
Surprisingly, we did, for 2 weeks, we did kosher meals for San Quentin.
Erline, people might not know this, but in prison, you can request special diets for health or religious reasons.
Right. I mean, you have different needs. You know, you mm-hmm. have vegetarians, you have halal, and then you have the kosher for mm-hmm. the Jewish cats.
One of the prisoners sent a letter, and they told him, like, these are the best meals that we've gotten, you know, ever.
Yeah, what was the meal that you made for them?
We made three. It was 3 meals a day. Seven days a week.
What was the food?
We gave them lox and bagels, lox and cream cheese, muffins, and granola.
They got quality food?
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe.
Why not?
These guys are eating so good. Like, we would do salmon for them, salmon rice, vegetables. We did these really good cheese sandwiches. We were doing, 115? And then it started increasing after these other guys started seeing what these guys were getting.
A lot of people converted, right?
By five. So we're like, oh, shoot. So we were doing almost 400 meals a day.
Getting a lox and cream cheese bagel after 30 years eating it, it's probably...
Amazing. I'm sure the food that you brought was better than anything.
We get him falafel, we get him shawarma. So we eat for 2 weeks. We thought it was going to be a little longer because also it kind of saved the business.
Mm.
We got letters from a few inmates thanking us, and it was the best kosher food they ate, and they haven't ate such a good food in years. It was definitely a nice kind of karma.
All right, Erline, it has been a while since you and I have been to Frenna Bakery. I mean, we started working on the story last year. So let's give an update.
Yep. Carlos, Gregory, Jeremiah, and Brandy have all moved on to new jobs after Frenna, though they do stay in contact with Isaac.
Oh, yeah, of course they do. But there is a sad note. Last week, Frenna closed the doors at their shop in downtown San Francisco, hopefully temporarily.
Yeah, the pandemic has been real tough on businesses.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to take a little time and retool what they offer there.
But in the meantime, they're still catering, and that truck is still making weekly deliveries all over the Bay Area.
Nice.
Hey, Notch.
What's up, B?
You didn't by chance watch the Golden State Warrior game Saturday, did you?
No. Why do you ask?
Well, if you did, you might have heard this familiar voice.
Oh, my God. It's Aaron Showtime Taylor.
The return of Chick Hearns.
Oh, my God. So, okay, we have to explain a little bit about
okay.
him. Inside San Quentin. Whenever there was a sports game, mostly basketball,
baseball, whatever,
he called the games. Like, definitely. He was an official game caller. And even when the Warriors would come in and play, which they did,
right,
he would call the games.
He would definitely do that.
He was so good.
And now mm-hmm. he has made it to the big time.
Nice.
He was on the mic at the Warriors game last weekend. And at the end of the game, Steph Curry came and gave him the game ball.
Oh, it's so exciting. So now that he's made it big time, we were not sure that he would do it, but he did make time to record the credits for this episode.
Take it away, Aaron.
Ear Hustle would like to thank Peter Coleman and David Monroe for also talking about their time with Frenna. Ear Hustle is produced by Nigel, a.k.a. Nigel Poor, Erline Skillet Woods, Rasan New York Thomas, John Yaya, I Don't Smile Too Much Johnson, and Bruce Wallace.
Amy Standin edits the show. Shubnum Sigmund is our digital producer. And Julie Shapiro is our executive producer for Radiotopia.
This episode was sound designed and engineered by Antoine Banks Williams, with music by Antoine, Rashid Zinnemann, a.k.a. Cinnamon, and David Jossi, a.k.a. DJ, the Swedish Phenom. Thanks to acting warden Ron Bloomfield. And as you know, every episode of Ear Hustle has to be approved by this guy here, the man who stands taller than anyone else in the room, yet doesn't reach anybody else's shoulder, and whose face needs to be on the $1 bill, Public Information Officer Lieutenant Sam Robinson.
Man, how do you follow Aaron Showtime Taylor? This is Lieutenant Sam Robinson, the Public Information Officer at San Quentin. And it's amazing when you see partnerships and people who really look out for folks who are behind the walls of prison. And so I don't have too much more to say other than I do approve this episode.
Indeed.
Did you check them out?
I did.
And okay, will you be going to the Lifers Bakery?
Of course I will. I'm not gonna lie and say that I knew about it before the story, but no, I didn't know it even existed before. But definitely, I'm gonna support the brothers who are out there working hard and trying to do the right thing, man. So yeah, definitely.
This podcast was made possible with the support of the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, working to redesign the justice system by building power and opportunity for communities impacted by incarceration. Ear Hustle is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX. Radiotopia is a collection of independent, listener-supported podcasts, some of the best podcasts around. Hear more at radiotopia.fm.
Notch,
mm-hmm.
Ear Hustle listeners are the best.
They really are. You're always in touch, letting us know what you think about episodes and sharing the love.
Yep, it's really a two-way conversation, a relationship.
Indeed it is. And if you're looking for a way to deepen that relationship, consider signing up for Ear Hustle Plus.
Ear Hustle Plus, it's a new subscription service that delivers bonus Ear Hustle episodes wherever you get your podcasts.
In addition to ad-free episodes of Ear Hustle, subscribers get behind-the-scenes, off-the-cuff conversations.
We have a monthly AMA, which is Ask Me Anything episode, where you and I answer questions sent in by subscribers.
And seriously, no question is too random or wacky.
Questions like, what's our favorite book? Do we hang out in between seasons? What's the most technically challenging Ear Hustle episode ever?
Okay, Erlon, yeah, those are good questions, but like we said above, I'd like some wackier ones, actually.
We've also started doing episode commentary, where you and I listen to a classic Ear Hustle episode and talk about how it came together, hard decisions made along the way, and where the people in the episodes are now.
Yeah, we did that for Sellies, and it was a lot of fun, so we're definitely going to do more. And Earlonne, tell them about that idea you're working on.
Sure. I've been sitting down with some of our formerly incarcerated friends who have gotten out and are doing well. Just basically showing how they went from one situation to a better situation, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Those will start dropping in the Ear Hustle Plus feed soon.
Listeners, we want you in this conversation. Find out more about Ear Hustle Plus at earhustlesq.com/plus or subscribe right now in the Apple Podcast Player app.
That's earhustlesq.com/plus or right in the Apple Podcast Player.
So, what is your favorite book, Earlonne?
Sorry, Nige. You got to subscribe for that.
Really?
Yes.
Radiotopia.